story of Martha and Mary I was sharing with the children a few moments ago is found in Luke 10, beginning in verse 38. Now as they, that's Jesus and the disciples, went on their way, Jesus entered a certain village, where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her. God bless the reading and the hearing of this word. One of the side effects of being deeply involved and passionate about something is such intense concentration can leave you emotionally, spiritually, and sometimes even physically drained. And that's the condition many of us find ourselves in after following the one after another horrific events of the past several weeks. Last Sunday, I addressed some issues connected with the shootings by police and the shooting of police. I shared, for instance, my ongoing Facebook discussion of, I put that in quotes, discussion, of the difference between Black Lives Matter and All Lives Matter. Well, I stoked the flames a bit a couple of days ago when I posted a meme that states, when the war on Christmas starts, we should all answer Merry Christmas with All Holidays Matter. Makes a good point. This past week, while the nation was still mourning the events of the previous week, we witnessed the unthinkable plowing down of revelers in Nice, France, followed the next day by an attempted coup to overthrow the president of Turkey. As people of faith, how do we respond to this insanity? Well, one way is to learn as much as we can about such events, and then either take some kind of action or to deeply reflect upon their implications. But it's not really either or. It's both and. I do believe, of course, that we are called to action. Perhaps in the form of attending a prayer vigil, a community discussion, a march, writing a letter, connecting with others on social media, etc. But what do? When we find ourselves then drained of energy. I think finding a cave to hide in is a very tempting solution, but not very practical. And I can think of, though, no better scripture passage to provide us with some necessary guidance than with this story of Martha and Mary. And one of the most common ways to interpret this seemingly simple story from Luke 10 is to see Martha and Mary as archetypes, representing the two sides of the same coin of faithful Christian discipleship. Martha, who becomes exhausted and exasperated with her many tasks, has been personified as the side of life and ministry that focuses on service and hospitality. The person who takes action, gets involved, helps others, keeps busy, and works hard. Martha types are the activists, the worker bees, focusing on the outward and the external expression of a life of faith. And I suspect that a majority of you who attend College Hill can easily relate to Martha and her life of active service. But Mary, on the other hand, who sits at the feet of Jesus and listens to him while he teaches, has been personified as the side of life and ministry that focuses on learning and contemplation. The one who studies the teachings of Jesus and the words of Scripture and takes time to pause and to reflect and pray. Married types are those who focus on the inward and internal expressions of a life of faith. Giving attention to our internal spiritual life has become a particular emphasis of mine here at the church, and especially over the past couple of years, knowing how hard this congregation has always focused on external act of service. But in the story, when Martha complains to Jesus and tells him to make Mary get up and help her, Jesus responds, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There's need of only one thing, and Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." You know, this story has often been used, therefore, to claim that inward spiritual development is more important than outward service to others. Or to put it another way, that doing is not as important as being. Do you agree with that interpretation? Well, if taken just by itself, that is what this story seems to imply. But is this what Jesus is really saying? That reflective learning is better than active service? And for years, I've been preaching a both-and approach to a life of faith rather than an either-or approach. And in line with that philosophy, I've entitled this sermon Contemplation and Service, Finding Balance. Doesn't this story imply, however, that it's service or contemplation? Well, I suggest the answer to that is no, and this is why. And it has everything to do where Luke places this story within his gospel. And for that, we need to know what precedes it in Luke 10. The middle part of this chapter is what we looked at last Sunday, the parable of the Good Samaritan. And what at first may seem like two completely unrelated stories actually have a lot to say when they're looked at together. In fact, biblical commentator Brian Stoffergen states, "The Martha and Mary text should not be studied separate from the lawyer's question and the parable of the Good Samaritan that precedes it." As we will see, the Samaritan who cares and helps, and Mary who listens and learns, are simply ways to illustrate the two-part answer that the lawyer gives himself to his own question about inheriting eternal life. Quote, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." This is the lens through which these two stories must be interpreted together. When the lawyer asks, "Who is my neighbor?" Jesus proceeds to give an example of how to fulfill the second part, to love your neighbor as yourself. That's the story of the Good Samaritan. But then Luke immediately presents the story of Martha and Mary. And as an extension, Martha represents this element of active service through her hospitality. But Luke cleverly goes on to demonstrate the other side of discipleship, going by giving an example of what it means to fulfill the first part, to love God with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind. Using the teachings of Jesus, Luke instructs us that faithful discipleship is indeed more than just serving and ministering to others. It is indeed also about pausing from our busyness in order to listen and learn from Jesus himself, the living Word of God. The story of Martha and Mary reminds us that if we don't pause long enough to be renewed and re-energized and centered and grounded spiritually, then all of our activity gets out of balance. In other words, we need to be reminded that activism without contemplation can end in aimless doing that actually aggravates existing difficulties. Biblical commentator Cynthia Jarvis adds a warning about how this can eventually affect a congregation. She writes, "A church that has been led to be, quote, worried and distracted by many things, inevitably will be a community that dwells in the shallows of frantic potlucks, anxious stewardship programs, and events designed simply to perpetuate the institution. Decisions will be made in meetings without a hint of God's presence. Food and drink will appear at table without Christ being recognized in the breaking of bread. Social issues may be addressed, but the gospel is missed in acts that partake of politics as usual. On the other hand," she continues, "when a congregation is led to position itself at Christ's feet, reading scripture together and asking after its meaning, listening to substantive sermons and wrestling like Jacob for God's blessing, studying and nurturing a faith that seeks understanding, then even the details of our common life begin to resound with good news. Whenever we neglect to keep our life in balance, we often find that we experience, much like Martha in this story, burnout, irritability, and strained relationships born out of resentment." Concerning the specific issue at hand in this biblical text, it is indeed true that we do often become resentful of those persons whom we perceive as not pulling their own weight when it comes to the many necessary tasks at hand. And that can be applied to tasks involved in managing a household, or where you work, within volunteer organizations, or with running the church and participating in active ministry efforts. We, like Martha, can end up being heard saying, "Lord, do you not care that these other folks have left me to do all the work by myself? Tell them to help me." Well, before we dismiss Martha simply as a whiner, let us remember again the parable of the Good Samaritan and our calling to active service and acts of ministry, regardless of what others do or do not do. Let's face it, the church can't run by itself. Nothing would ever get done if there weren't a large contingent of Marthas here at College Hill, who do so much of the necessary work, like fill in 2 seconds before we walk down the aisle. So thank you for all of the time and talents and resources that you have contributed. And studies have shown, in fact, that a majority of Presbyterians by temperament type, people study these things, tend to have a strong sense of duty and responsibility. That old Protestant work ethic. Therefore, almost by nature, we tend to be more like the ever-busy Martha than the contemplative Mary. Yet Jesus' response to Martha is very informative. He teaches that if we become so engrossed with the constant work and activity, then all that hard work can actually become a distraction and a source of anxiety. And that is, and what, rather, is it that we are ultimately distracted from? Well, in the story, it's being distracted from sitting at the feet of Jesus, which means the position of a disciple, in order to listen and learn from him. It's being distracted from getting well-rounded in our purpose before we engage in all of our service. So what can you do to feed and nurture your spirit and to center your life? Is your discipleship in balance? Does the Mary side of the coin of faithful discipleship turn up as often as the Martha side? Do you practice the instruction in Psalm 46:10 to be still and know that? Let me close with a thought that reflects what we learn from these two stories, the parable of the Good Samaritan and the tale of Martha and Mary. There is a time to go and do. There is a time to listen and reflect. Knowing which and when is a matter of spiritual discernment. So may God bless us in our spiritual discernment and our efforts to find balance. So for you, is it Martha time or Mary time?